welcome to another Gaming Gang Extra, C2E2 Raw. I'm your host, Elliot, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Miranda Anderson from Cryptozoic Entertainment on all of Cryptozoic's games and what is coming up in 2012. I'll stop in with Cam Banks from Margaret Weiss Productions to discuss the new Marvel RPG and the upcoming supplements. I'll also speak with Steve Haberman from Xenoscope on the new Xenoscope titles, their Kickstarter project for the Grimm Fairy Tales animated series, and their expansion into other areas, including the new Wonderland board game. Finally, I'll talk with Scott Snyder from DC Comics concerning the new Batman story arc, Swamp Thing, and American Vampire. So, without further ado, let's visit C2E2 Raw. This is Elliot, and I'm at C2E2 at the Cryptozoic booth, and I'm talking to Miranda from Cryptozoic. I was wondering if you'd give me an overview of Cryptozoic games, because, tell you the truth, I haven't tried any of them.
So, for the ones that we have here at C2E2, we kind of cover everything from casual gaming that you can do with your kids to something that's a little bit more hobby Euro style. So, for our deck building games, the two that we have available right now are the Penny Arcade games, and we just launched the expansion, which is Rumble and Relay, last weekend at the PAX East. So that's brand new, and so this is, again, one of the first times that consumers can buy it here at the show. And the Penny Arcade games, the two of them are standalones, but they can also be played together. And they're similar to what you would see in a Dominion. So they have the piles of cards that are out on the board and are static, and the victory conditions are usually very typically victory points, but you're trying to kill the bosses, which is a little bit different than Dominion, but also pick up a certain number of stacks off the board to end the game.
What kind of theme do they have?
They're very thematic to the Penny Arcade strip, so you're going to see a lot of the characters that are brought out in those. So if you read them, there's the Necromancer and just a lot of the very funny characters that they bring out in that that's very relevant to people who are interested in comics and pop culture and gaming.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
From there, we've developed a couple of our own in-house IPs, and those two games are Epic Spell Wars of the Battle Wizards Duel at Mount Skullsfire. So we just call it Epic Spell Wars, because that's a handful, and Food Fight. So both of those are just in-house IPs. So they're not anything that's licensed or developed with other partners and companies, but they're kind of more of just a card game. So you typically, for Epic Spell Wars, you have cards in your hands and you're trying to put three components together and attacking the wizards that are on your left and right, and you eventually just want to be the last wizard standing. Once you put the spell components together, you say out the card names and that is your spell. And they're just really kind of kooky and funny and silly. The game is very fast-paced. It's designed to be played with more players, 3 to 6. You try to play it with 2 people, you're just attacking each other and over again, so it goes by very quickly.
Right.
Food Fight is you're battling for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and you have troops in your hands that maybe it's General Chicken, who is very good when you combine it with Captain Waffles, so chicken and waffles. And so you get those troops together, and you try to battle it out at breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and it's essentially just kind of a game of war, but you have condiments and salt and pepper that can come out and make your food extra yummy and try to trump the other person's cards.
Now, you guys just had an expansion for that coming out, too, right?
We did. So, Food Fight Snack Attack is the expansion. We got a few cases of product shipped over from China to have available at PAX and C2E2, and that will be available in hobby stores about the middle of May.
Oh, very good, very good.
So, from there, we actually worked with Joe Hill and the folks over at IDW to produce a game for Lock and Key, and that's, again, very... very thematic and very involved, top down from the IP. So it's you're going through the key house, and it's a cooperative game, but also very competitive. So you all are on the same side, but you all have secret agendas, and so you never really know what's going on in the key house. And the art is straight from the graphics. So it's, if you're a fan of the graphic novels, you're really going to like the style of the art. We have been able to work very closely with Joe, and so there are a few keys in the game that either have never really been shown or have never really been named, and we've been able to do whichever ones of those. Kind of loading up more of that canon from the graphics or the stuff that he's going to be working on in the future that we kind of get to preview. So it's one of the funner ones that we've been able to do.
How many players is that one for?
That one is, again, I think it's 2 to 6.
2 to 6.
So a lot of the card games that we have that are priced, all of them at $29.99, they're really for, about that 3 to 6 is the good range for it.
Right, okay.
And then we also did a game for The Walking Dead, which is licensed through AMC, so that's going to be of the TV show, not of the graphics.
Right.
And that is a game that's good for people who love the IP and who love the show, and it's good for people who want to be able to sit down and play a game with maybe their mother-in-law, their father-in-law, something that isn't necessarily a very hardcore game. It's you're the survivors from the show, so you're Rick and Lori and Andrea, and you are in Atlanta trying to scrounge up resources and food and water and get back to the base camp alive without being swarmed by zombies. But you're essentially just moving around the board in sort of a Monopoly type fashion where you're going around and you have different accomplishments that you're trying to do, but it's very easy to get the hang of. So it's great to play with those people who don't play games an awful lot because it's easy to pick up. For people who do a lot more gaming, there's a lot more strategy kind of below the surface of what weapons are better and what characters work better together based on their character dynamics in the show. And so there's a lot more strategy that you can put in there if you're a little bit more advanced gamer, but it's easy to play with people who are a little bit more casual.
Okay, and I notice it can be played solo as well.
Yes. So for this game, because you are essentially battling Atlanta and the zombies that inhabit it, you can try to complete the missions and the victory conditions on your own.
Okay. Is there a lot of zombie wasting in it?
There are a lot of zombies in it, and so you do hopefully get to kill them. Fortunately, every now and then you do get bit, but that's kind of a fun aspect of the game is if you die and become a zombie, you actually get to come back in the game as a zombie. So you're
good.
Not just out.
We've also got World of Warcraft.
We do. So the World of Warcraft trading card game is one of our staples. It's something that we are very proud of and support a lot. For shows like C2E2 that are more comics and entertainment focused, it's not our primary brand that we bring out, but we do have millions of dollars that go on each year to support it for organized play, and we have several events that happen worldwide to support the people who are fans of that and who are eager to play it, and it's something that you can always find out more information about on our website.
And I also see that you have some niche trading cards. The Guild, Big Bang Theory, and Vampire Diaries. Now, the Big Bang Theory just came out, right?
It did. It did. So it came out last month, and we were fortunate enough that it was very popular. It was sold out upon release. So it sold out through distribution, but you can still find it in hobby stores. But it's something that we've had an overwhelming response from fans, both of casual people who are fans of this show, but also people within the trading card industry that were very excited to have this product come out and have the opportunity to get reliable, authentic autographs from the cast and pieces of their wardrobe.
Okay, so what does Cryptozoic have coming out in the future?
So coming out a little bit later this springtime / maybe into the summer, we are currently waiting on a shipment of games coming over from China that's actually the Big Bang Theory party game. So that is going to be a card-based game that has lots of the really funny lines from the show. So 200-pound transvestite with a skin condition, or evil scientist with a speech impediment. And players will submit cards to the judge, who will base those off of a category and determine which ones are the funniest or the least funny, ranging in points from 1 to 5. So people who go through, we recommend that you do at least 2 or 3 rounds so that everyone gets to be the judge a few times. And then the person with the most points at the end of the game wins. But it's very funny, and it's very keyed into the humor of the show, which appeals to so many people. So we think that it's going to be very successful. And anyone who was able to pick up a copy, it's one of the products that's currently sold out before release. So if you're able to get one of the first printing, definitely hold on to it. But we think people are going to have a lot of fun with it.
Excellent. Excellent. That it for now?
Recently, coming off of Toy Fair, we did a soft launch of our DC license. So it's one of the reasons we're fortunate to be so close to DC this year.
Right.
We are working on a deck building game for that, as well as trading cards that will be out this summer.
Okay, great. So if people want to know more about Cryptozoic, where can they go to find out?
We could always go to cryptozoic.com for any of our brands or products, and more specifically, wowtcg.com for anything related to Warcraft.
Thank you very much for
Absolutely.
Talking to me. This is Elliot again, and I am talking to Cam Banks from Margaret Weiss Productions. I see you've got Leverage, the role-playing game, and Marvel Heroic role-playing game here. Can you tell me a little about them?
Yeah, Leverage is out. It's been out for about a year now. It's our famous caper and heist game where you play ex-criminals taking down the man. A lot of fun, very quick pick-up-and-play game. Marvel, of course, is our new licensed product, only been out a couple of weeks. It is the first product we have out for this line, and it's the basic game. So everything you need to play is in this book, including characters and the scenario and all the rules.
So what kind of mechanics do you have for, like, rolling up characters and things like that?
Oh, it's a fast-moving kind of game, and therefore it's very dynamic. We want to try and emulate comic books more than, say, a superhero in a real-world situation. So the game, when making characters, you can choose one of the ones that exists already. We provide some of those with it. You can adapt your own character to the Marvel rules without having to spend points or worrying about how many levels you have. Just make the character you want to play and go. We also have available on our website a random data file generator. So if you really want to roll dice and figure out what this person looks like and you have no concept whatsoever already, just go for it and do that. So it doesn't really want you to sort of say, well, I can't spend enough points to make this character. I feel like I'm being restricted. It doesn't give you that restriction, but it does let you say at your table to one of your players, you're making a character who's way too overpowered. Don't be an idiot. So, you know, we like to use the term, use the nerf hammer if you have to.
Very good. So how's it been doing so far?
It's been doing really well. We have had a lot of people play testing it early on. And they go ahead and tell everyone else about it before it came out. And a lot of the early buzz was really, really strong. When it came out in different stores, we had launch parties to have it, the word out for it. And now that it's on the shelves at stores and available online and everywhere else, it's doing really amazingly well. It's very popular.
Great. Can you tell me a little bit about Leverage?
Yeah, Leverage has been out for, like I said, about a year. It is similarly, it's the same kind of system where it's very dramatic and you want to try and, you know, have a lot of fun without being too bogged down in too many rules. If anything, it's more simple than Marvel because it doesn't have quite as much crunch behind it. But it does incorporate a lot of rules that are interesting that sort of reflect the TV show, which, if you've seen it, has a lot of flashbacks. It has a lot of, you know, surprise twists. All of that is worked into the rules in a way that's very easy to do. We've had people who start playing Leverage and have had no background in, like, you know, screenwriting or knowing how that works, obviously. But they manage to pull out a really cool caper every time they play it. And John Rogers, one of the co-creators of the show and the producers of the show, is a fan of gaming. And he did the intro for the book. And he said to us that we've really hit the nail on the head with this one. In fact, his writer's room, we're reading through the section on how to create a caper and how that works. And saying, yep, they got this right. So I was very happy with their response.
Now, I know the Marvel role-playing game just came out, but what does Margaret Weiss have in store for us in the future?
A great deal of Marvel stuff. You know, our model is mainly based on events, just like Marvel itself does, you know, crossover events every year. We have three coming out this year. The first one is Civil War, which is based on the very popular, hero versus hero split in the community when the Superhuman Registration Act hits. So that's a lot of fun, and also very very conservative kind of start, because it's modern-day characters. Everyone knows these characters. Nothing too strange or weird about it. And then following up with that is Annihilation, which is a huge cosmic event that happened a few years ago and has since spiraled out into the main Marvel universe with lots of spin-offs. And that one that's going to be very cool, very cosmic Marvel. And finally, at the end of the year, we'll have the alternate universe being represented with Age of Apocalypse. And that's a lot of X-Men in the alternate universe where everyone has huge shoulder pads and facial tattoos, and no one is the same as they are in the usual universe. It's a lot of fun too, because that showing you just how far we can stretch things and make it interesting.
Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk to me today. This was Cam Banks from Margaret Weiss Productions.
Great. Visit our website, margaretweiss.com, and you'll see we have a lot of bonus content and DLC there for the Marvel game and support for our other games as well.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, I'm at the Xenoscope booth, and I'm talking to Steve Haberman, and he's going to let us know about what they've got featured here at the Xenoscope booth and what's going to be coming up. So what's going on, Steve?
We're actually really excited. We have got a few C2E2 exclusives. We do exclusive covers for just about every show. So we're featuring new exclusives for Alice in Wonderland, number 5, Jungle Book, number 2, and Grim Fairy Tales, 72. Or 71. we are showing off all of our comics, and at the show, we're really focusing in on our Kickstarter. Our Kickstarter project right now is the Grimm Fairy Tales animated series. It's based off our comic. It's currently we're going for a goal of $175,000, but we've already got over $60,000 in support. We are going to be teaming with, or partnering with Titmouse Animation Studio that does Metalocalypse, Adventure Brothers, and another other big Adult Swim shows. So we're really excited about that. And we just announced this past week, Rihanna Evigan, who's from Step Up 2 and Sorority Row and Devil's Carnival, as well as Lena Headey, the star of Game of Thrones and from 300, Leonidas' wife. She is going to be the star. She will be voicing Sela, who's our main character from the animated series. So that's pretty exciting. And then we've got some big releases coming up. We are getting into toys and games. We have action figures being done by CS War Studio, who is here and actually just across the way from us here at the C2E2. Uh-huh. And the Wonderland series, which is very popular. We're going to be doing the Wonderland Ongoing, which will start at San Diego Comic-Con. Will be Wonderland Ongoing number one. Will be released then. And teaming with that is an Alice action figure, the Grimmies, which are basically similar to Mini-Mates, but they're our characters and our little guys. Uh-huh. And finally, the Wonderland board game. So that'll be really cool.
Tell me a little about that.
Okay, so I know you wanted to hear about that. The Wonderland board game is going to be up to six players. I believe you're going to be either good or bad. You kind of pick your side. And each characters have a variety of different goals to reach. And your goal as a player is to reach your goal and progress to the end to reach your achievements. Your opponents are basically trying to stop you from progressing. And the neat parts about this game is that it's a flippable board. So you can either be in the real world or you can be in Wonderland. And based on which realm you're in will affect how the game is being played. So it's a more advanced game than just your average board game. We think people who are enjoying the Last Night on Earth and those types of games would probably enjoy this one. And it's being developed by To Be Continued, who handled Walking Dead comic board game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're a great studio to work with. We've got Christopher Cote, our graphic designer, is doing a lot of the work on the art for that.
Excellent.
Yeah, and that should, again, be a July release, maybe August. But yeah, that will be our first board game ever as well.
Well, that I'm looking forward to, of course. So is that everything that's going on?
Yeah, pretty much here at C2E2, we're going to be doing a panel. It's called Expand a Brand to talk about our Zenoscope's growth into games and toys and, the Kickstarter for the animated series. We're also, we have a producer out in the West Coast that's trying to get our books and IPs into movies. And I don't know if we'll be announcing anything specific about the movies front, but we're hearing some cool things happening. So we're really excited for what is to come. And we're a top 10 comic book publisher. We're moving up, and we just are excited about the expansions.
What made you guys break into expanding into new frontiers?
Well, I would say that we have a very, very engaged audience. Our fan base is very, very loyal, and they can only read so much, we can only print so much, and they seem to just want more and more. So we wanted to give them an opportunity to experience those worlds, those universes, and get to know the characters a little bit better. Because we are a popular comic book company, but we're more known for the titles rather than the characters. And, yes, we do an Alice in Wonderland, but our Alice isn't Disney's Alice.
Right.
We do Grimm Fairy Tales, and Sela is a modern character, a strong heroine. And, I mean, we are one of the comic book publishers that can do strong female leads almost better than anybody else. We're not canceling any of our girls. Sometimes they have a problem getting the guy characters to stick, But yeah, we really just wanted them to, get a shot at learning more about our universes and experiencing them in a new way.
Thanks a lot for taking a minute to talk to me, Steve, and good luck at the show.
Thank you very much.
This is Elliot again, and I'm talking to Scott Snyder from DC's Comics of Batman and Swamp Thing fame. Scott, tell me what's going on with Batman. I'm hearing a lot of exciting things are coming up.
Yeah, well, we're really excited over in Gotham right now because our big storyline called Night of the Owls is coming with issue 8 of Batman and 8 of Nightwing and then issue 9 of all the other Bat titles pretty much in May. So it features Batman and the whole Bat family pitted against these undead and almost unkillable assassins that have been sort of woken up from every era of Gotham's history that all belong to this secret society called the Court of the Owls that sort of ruled Gotham from the shadows unbeknownst to Bruce Wayne. And so it'll be this giant attack on Gotham where it brings all of the history of Gotham, where you'll get to see a lot of the history of these Talons and the history of the glimpses into the decades these Talons are from, while that history is being brought to bear in a very dark and violent way against the heroes of the present, the Bat Family in Gotham.
So how many titles are we going to be spanning here?
Well, pretty much every Bat title except there's a title associated with the Bat world except for Batwoman. So Detective, Batman and Robin, Batman, obviously Nightwing, Batgirl, All-Star Western, Red Hood and the Outlaws, Catwoman, Batwing, and I think I'm sure I'm missing one or two, but that's Dark Knight. That's 10 of them. I think there's 11. I might be missing one.
So All-Star Western too, huh?
Yeah, man, that's one of my favorites. I love Jimmy and Justin's series there, and it's just amazing. Like, they were able to tie it in so that you see Talon from an era long gone, and it's a great story. I just love the way they handled Jonah and Gotham. It's terrific.
Excellent. Now, when is this going to be starting?
It starts this month, really, in just a week or two, in Batman number 8 and Nightwing number 8, and then it's the number 9 books in the whole Bat family that really have the full-scale attack. So it'll be this month and next in all of the Bat titles. In May, and in Nightwing and Batman this month in April.
Speaking of, say, Swamp Thing, I've been hearing a lot of great things about Swamp Thing, which has traditionally not been a lot of great things. How did you take it to where it is now?
Well, thanks. I'm so honored to be on the character, you know, for one. I guess the way I took it was just, you know, the only way to do that character is to do something different that matters to you. I mean, that's the challenge, and the thing that's inspiring about Swamp Thing is that everybody who's taken him on has done a version that's really particular to them and about their sort of interests and the things they love about the character. So for me, it's just been trying to really keep the story focused on Alec Holland, his secret history, his mythology, the idea that maybe he had this destiny of becoming this ragged swamp monster, Swamp Thing, even before he knew it. Maybe he had ties to Abbey Arcane, maybe he had ties to the Green that he didn't know about. And to really develop that, because for me, the series at its best has always been about a man underneath this monster. Even when he wasn't a man, when he was just a monster who realized he had never been a man, he still couldn't let go of that humanity. That's why he loved Abby and all that stuff. So for me, it's about a monster who's wrestling with the notion that he was once a man, regardless of whether he actually had a human being under all of the moss and vegetation. And so I've tried to stay true to that, I guess. You know, my favorite sort of elements of the original Swamp Thing mythology through Len Wein and Alan Moore, and just bring those to the fore in my story, too.
That's great. Yeah, it's really gone in a great direction. Is there anything else you'd like to mention about other titles?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, American Vampire, I'm really excited about what's happening in that. We have a big 1950s Hollywood arc coming up with The Blacklist in June, and we have a miniseries coming in June as well called American Vampire Lord of Nightmares that'll bring us face-to-face with the scariest, sort of oldest vampire of the Carpathian, the Dracula species, that we've ever seen. And it takes place in London and Paris, and Dustin Nguyen's drawing it, so I'm super excited about it.
I appreciate you taking these couple of minutes to talk to me. Scott, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
That's it. Thanks to everyone for taking their time to talk to me at the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo. We'll have more extras in the future, and don't forget to catch Jeff and I on the next episode of the Gaming Gang Podcast.